Not following the Bible's financial principles is unwise and can be hazardous to your wealth. Hi, I'm Rob West. Financial wellness doesn't happen all by itself. It's something you have to take positive steps to ensure. Neely Simon joins us today with some great tips for being financially well. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, Neely Simon is our guest today. She's a certified credit counselor with Christian Credit Counselors, an underwriter of this program, and Neely always brings hope for those struggling with debt, and today she has some tried and true ways to avoid it. Neely, great to have you back with us.
Thank you for having me on the show, Rob.
Well, Neely, it certainly isn't too late in the new year to look at our finances and make some adjustments where needed. So where should we start?
I have three things I'd like to share that promote financial wellness. The first is to create or update your budget. Now, most Americans have a monthly budget. So if you have one, update it. With inflation, expenses have gone up significantly since last year. And if you don't have a budget, you really need to make one. Your budget provides a roadmap on how to get from here to there while also setting goals. Now, keep in mind, your budget doesn't need to be an IRS audit for every little thing. But what you do need to have are the major things. And here's a list of the things you should be looking for. Track your housing, food, transportation, clothing, debt payments, utilities, insurance, medical bills, and recreation expenses. Now, many people oversubscribe to entertainment services during the pandemic. Yeah. Those are the automatic payments that are easy to overlook. Maybe you don't need 5 or 6 streaming services. Just pick a few and cancel the others. A good way to see what's on auto pay is to review your bank and credit card statements. That'll give you a good idea of the big stuff, and then you can fill your budget in the best you can with the small stuff. The more accurate, the better.
Well, that certainly is a key part of financial wellness. Take us to tip number 2.
Pay down your credit card debt because it is the most costly consumer debt you have. According to Bankrate, the average credit card interest rate is now over 20%, and the average retail credit card interest is 29%, and some even go up to 32%. Here's a good example. If you're only making minimum payments on a $6,000 balance, it will take you 17 years to pay it off, and along the way, you'll pay $9,000 in interest.
Now, this is a good time for me to remind you, no consolidation of your debt. I recommend a debt management program, which is why we've partnered with Christian Credit Counselors. They'll help you get those interest rates down, a level monthly payment, and get out of debt much faster. All right, Neely, tip number 3.
Start an emergency fund. Everyone should have a cash reserve set aside for unplanned expenses that aren't in your monthly budget. These are things like car and home repairs or medical bills. An emergency fund can also shield the blow of losing your job.
Yeah.
Experts say saving 3 to 6 months worth of expenses is best. If you can't do that, start somewhere. Make a goal of $500 and build from there. Another suggestion is to make it automatic. Split some of your paycheck into a savings account.
Yeah, that's great advice. All right, we're about out of time. Neely, so many people are feeling overwhelmed these days. It seems like what they really need is an action plan. I know that's where Christian Credit Counselors comes in. So give them a quick overview of what you do.
Sure. So at Christian Credit Counselors, we help people every day set up that action plan that gets you out of debt 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information, you can go to christiancreditcounselors.org or by calling us at 800-557-1985 to talk to a certified counselor today. Again, the consultation's free.
Great, Neely. Well, we always appreciate you stopping by. Thanks for the tips today, and thank you for your partnership as well.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
That's Neely Simon with Christian Credit Counselors. This is my preferred way to get you out of credit card debt, folks. The website again is ChristianCreditCounselors.org. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Heads up, men. Valentine's Day is just around the corner. And for some of us, that day is a close second to the importance of remembering your wedding anniversary. But a word for husbands out there, including me, don't wait for a special day to be proactive and loving and pursuing your wife. Do that today. Paul instructs husbands in Ephesians 5, saying, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." The love of Jesus for the church was costly. And as Jesus said, he came to serve, not to be served. So let's follow his example. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Grow in your walk with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the Giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are Giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. We want to help you apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. You can call right now at 800-525-7000. The calls are already coming in, but still two lines open, 800-525-7000, with that financial question you've been wrestling with over the weekend. We'd love to hear about it. Or perhaps you have a testimony of God's faithfulness in your life. Maybe you've been listening for a while and applied some of these principles in your financial life. You'd like to share how God has been working in your stewardship of his resources. Let us know that as well at 800-525-7000. You can call right now. In the news today, economists and job seekers aren't on the same page when it comes to hiring these days. The experts continue to tell us that the job market is strong, citing a 50-year low in the unemployment rate in January at just 3.4%. But it seems job seekers aren't buying it. Listen to this. A survey by the staffing agency Insight Global shows that unemployed full-time workers applied for an average of
30 jobs in 2023, getting back only 4 callbacks or responses. Over half of unemployed adults say they were burned out from searching for a job. Analysts say the job market is cooling, but the main reason for the divided opinions is that job seekers' expectations perhaps are too high after a long period of robust hiring. People simply aren't accustomed to having difficulty getting hired. That's especially true for younger workers. In the survey, 66% of them reported feeling burned out from job searching. Well, obviously, still, all for all intents and purposes, a strong job market, but it is no doubt cooling, and your experience may not line up with the headline data from The Economist. So just keep that in mind. Put the time in, work your networks, update your resume. The vast majority of jobs come through a connection that you have. So make sure you let folks know you're out there on the hunt if that's the situation that you're in. All right, we're ready to go. Let's dive in today. One line open, 800-525-7000. We're going to begin in Florida. Ray, go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning, and God bless you, and thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
First, I'd like to thank my brother. I'd like to thank my brother John up in Atlanta for turning me on to the AFR network. So
awesome.
My situation is this. I have 3 different pensions. I'm a military retired, and I'm also a disabled vet, 100% disabled, and I'm also on SSDI from Social Security. So I have those 3, which equate to probably about $36,000, $40,000, and $40,000 income per year.
Okay.
So that's coming in on a yearly basis, no problem, and that should remain till I pass away. And I have saved up somehow, I don't know how, with 5 children. My wife and I have been married over 46 years, and I don't know how we saved up, but we did. I have $1.5 million in a rollover IRA.
Right.
And I have about $500,000 somewhat liquid in another account. I call it my house money. I just sold a house in Orlando, and we plan on purchasing another home. I have a home up in North Carolina in the mountains, a very small home, very inexpensive. So we have the $500,000 that we're going to purchase another home with eventually, but we don't know when. My question is, I'm feeling that the 1.5 I have is in a very, very high, in fact, it's 100% stocks situation. And it's growing pretty well, and I'm pretty happy with it. But I think I'm at a point where I'm ready to be on an income stream, and I'd like to start taking that income in about 2 years. And I don't want a lot. I just think that if I could get somewhere between 4% and 6% of a steady income stream from the 1.5, I think my wife would, and I, we've done our math, we think we could live pretty well on that. But I don't know which vehicle or which avenue to go with that, like a DIV ETF or a treasury bond or something. So I don't know what vehicle would be best for somebody in my situation.
Yeah, very good. That was really helpful background, Ray. Obviously, you guys have done well, living modestly, saving diligently. You're experiencing the fruit of that now. And, you know, you're ready to not be on such a volatile roller coaster of every stock tick,
yeah,
and yet still look to grow this and offset the effects of inflation and draw an income from it. So I get that. I think what you're looking to pull is fairly modest and reasonable. So, you know, I think you should be in good shape. I think the question is just whether either through your own management of this or by hiring an advisor, you're willing to still assume some risk for the benefit of being able to still access larger portions of the account if you want, versus giving up some access to the money and then transferring that risk to, let's say, an insurance company with an annuity product, which, you know, I would be okay with. They're not all created equal by any means, but they do have a place. And especially if you and your wife are saying, listen, we just want to get out of having any market risk. We'd rather just have a guaranteed return for the rest of our lives and then annuitize this money and just let it, you know, pay out. Or if you want to keep it in that rollover IRA and you just don't want to manage it, or even if you do, but you just want to get more conservative, then I think this is a time where you might dial way back that stock allocation and look to add a lot more in the way of fixed income. So you mentioned T-bills, bonds and notes. You know, we could look at some high quality corporate bonds. It could be through mutual funds or individual, you know, bond purchases. And that might make up, let's say, you know, 60-70% of the portfolio, maybe a 10% allocation to gold, 5-10%, and then the rest in some high quality, you know, stocks that maybe have a dividend. You mentioned that. And that way, you know, the idea would be that over the long haul, you would be able to make up those distributions, but still preserve that principal balance and still have immediate access to larger sums of money if you all needed it down the road for long-term care or something like that. And in a situation like that, I would encourage you, if you haven't already, to hire an advisor who could really take responsibility for this. Yes, you have to pay for it, but now you all can go enjoy what God has for you in this next season of life and, you know, trust that to somebody else. And, you know, you'd obviously check in with them, you know, a couple of times a year, and you're getting monthly statements and that kind of thing. But, you know, that would be my preference typically. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, I have looked into annuities, and my brother happens to be a financial planner. And,
all right.
He has a small shop, a boutique shop, I guess you would call it, but pretty large. I think he has $300 or $400 million in assets. And so he doesn't really like annuities, and he's used to sell them as an insurance person. He used to sell them. So he actually mentioned the corporate bond structure and maybe going and keeping some stocks in there. So I kind of like the idea of possibly a high quality stocks with possibly a corporate bond, but how do you know, like, I guess, well, which ones do you go with, and how do you, is 6% a number you could get out of that?
No, you know, that'd be a little rich, but I think, you know, with yields where they are now, plus getting ready to see these interest rates starting to fall, I mean, you'll get some good yield, you know, 5%, and then you can expect some appreciation on top of it. And that's not sustainable for the long term, but I think in the near term, I'd probably be looking at short to intermediate term bonds, not long term. But, you know, that's where I think either hiring him or a certified Kingdom advisor on our website is probably the way to go at faithfi.com. I'm going to take a break. Stay right there, Ray. We'll talk off the air.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West. We're so glad you're along with us today. We're taking your calls and questions today. We've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Illinois. Hi, Teresa. How can I help?
Yes. Hi.
Hi there.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay, great. I'm 68 years old, and I'm a widow. I've been a widow for about 7 years, and I'm kind of struggling paying my bills right now. I have a mortgage. My balance on my mortgage is about It looks like it's $113,000, yeah, now that I'm looking at it. $113,000, and I make about $1,770 in my Social Security, and my bills are about $3,000 a month. So I'm kind of struggling.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering. I have some money I saved up. I've got about $119,000. And I'm wondering, should I pay off my mortgage or what should I do? My mortgage is about $1,300, but the mortgage itself is $795, almost $800.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If I paid off, that's a pretty good chunk right there that would help me if I didn't have that. But I'm not sure if that makes sense or not.
Yeah.
And I have some money invested. I have $96,000 invested in Charles Schwab and Intelligent Portfolio and a few other things.
All right. Is that in addition to the $200,000 that you have, Teresa?
No, I wish it was. I wish
okay.
It was.
That's a part of that.
Yeah. My free clear cash money is about $90,000. A little more than that, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
So a couple of questions for you. Number one is, what do you think I know you owe $113,000. What is the value of your home, do you think?
Probably $250,000.
All right. And do you plan on staying there for as long as you can?
I don't know. Yeah, that's the hard part. I don't have a lot of family. My daughter moved to Arizona, my only daughter, and so I'm kind of like it. My brothers and sisters have passed on, and my mom and dad, too. So I don't have anyone to really count on, so I kind of have to do it myself. So I might stay here. Right now, it looks like I'm going to stay here for at least for a few more years anyway.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Well, I think you've got a couple of options because you're right. We need to right-size this budget and, have a plan. Your shortfall is how much per month, did you say?
Let me get that right. It's about $1,000.
About $1,000. Okay. So the most I'd want you, typically, if we were to take that whole $200,000 and invest it and be fairly conservative, and let's say you hired an advisor to do it, typically with a portfolio like that, we would say, okay, let's try to draw only 4% a year. And the goal is that you'd be able to pull 4% a year and not have ever see the portfolio decline. You'd preserve the principal balance. Now, in any given month or year or a couple of years, could it be down? Absolutely. But over a 5 or 10 year period, the goal would be to maintain the $200,000, even increase it slightly for inflation, and you'd be able to draw that 4% a year. Challenge is that's only $650, and that's not quite going to do it. But that is an option. Second option, I think, is, as you said, go ahead and pull $113,000 out of this. Now you're down to, less than $90,000, but your mortgage is gone. and try to balance the budget, you know, with now no mortgage payment, and really kind of buckle down and make sure that your expenses are covered, and where you have to cut to balance, you'd need to do that. The third option is, you know, another planning tool, and that's a reverse mortgage, where, you know, once you're age 62, which you're beyond that, and you have at least 50% equity, and it sounds like you do, you could essentially get a reverse mortgage where, you know, the benefit of that is, number one, even if you didn't take a monthly income from it, you could no longer have to make a mortgage payment. And the balance of your current mortgage would be paid off through the reverse mortgage. And then it would continue to grow with an interest rate attached to it, but you get rid of that mortgage payment. So now you still have your $200,000 and you could pull $650 a month and your mortgage payment's gone. And then, you know, if you pass away, your estate would pay off the reverse mortgage through the sale of the home. Or if you moved, you would take the proceeds and you'd pay off the mortgage balance plus whatever interest accrued. But in the meantime, you've now solved your cash crunch because your mortgage payment is gone. You never make a mortgage payment again, and you still have your $200,000 that you could turn over to an advisor to invest for you conservatively, and you could draw an income from it. Now, the last option is you could take the reverse mortgage, never make the mortgage payment again, and start to get a monthly income from that, where your mortgage balance would increase plus interest because you're getting a monthly payout. But that would also be another way to get more income coming in. The last thing I'll say, and then I want to get your thoughts, is one of the benefits of a reverse mortgage, what's called a home equity conversion mortgage, is that the government guarantees it. So you're not personally liable for it. The only collateral that you would ever have to provide to satisfy the loan is the home. They could never give you more than your home would satisfy. And if they ever did pay out, let's say you lived to 130 and they paid you more than the value of your home, well, the government covers the difference between, you know, what your home will pay versus what you actually owe. So give me your thoughts on all that.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. I never even thought about the reverse mortgage. Yeah, that's 50%. As long as I have paid
50% equity.
Equity. Yeah, I think I do. That's interesting. The other thought is I just came up with I forgot I do have a pension for $20,000, and I have another $20,000 in a 401k sitting that I forgot all about. So that's another $40,000.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know.
So a couple of places I'll direct you, and then we'll finish up off the air. One is to learn more about the reverse mortgage. If you use the internet, go to movement.com/faith. That's Movement Mortgage, and they have a reverse mortgage department that can educate you on all this. Movement.com/faith, and then faithfi.com to find a certified Kingdom advisor. Let's finish up off the air. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Are you being honest and dependable in your personal money matters? Honesty is one of the first things Jesus requires of new believers. When some tax collectors approached Jesus to be baptized, they asked, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what you have been ordered to." You need to be honest to be effective for God's kingdom work.
Tune in to Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Progressive elites in Hollywood, big tech, mainstream media, and higher academia are lying to our next generation. They want to convince our young people that America's biblical foundation is offensive, outdated, and must be overthrown. Your gift today will unleash AFA action to share the timeless truth of why protecting the biblical family is essential to the survival of the American Republic. You'll also get the free DVD and booklet set, Progressive Threat to the American Republic. Visit AFAaction.net.
My grocery bill went up 11% this year. Gas, utilities, rent, all went up. But my paycheck, the same. I also pay for my own healthcare, a huge expense. A friend recommended Christian Healthcare Ministries as an option to insurance, and CHM helps pay for medical needs while allowing some breathing room in my budget. Open enrollment is here, so make the switch today with potential cost savings up to 40%. Christian Healthcare Ministries at chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. You can call and get through right now. Robert Youngblood taking our calls today at 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000 with your financial questions today. You know, we started today by talking about tips for financial wellness to update your budget and pay down your credit card debt and start an emergency fund. And it's always great to have our friend Neely Simon stop by. You know, when it comes to paying down credit card debt in particular, here's the approach I like to take. And we get this question a lot. And this is not a magic number. It's just in my experience, this is the number I've found. If you have less than $4,000 in credit card debt, you can probably just do it yourself. And I like the snowball method. I mean, that simply means you, if you have multiple credit cards, you line them up smallest to largest balance, not highest to lowest interest rate, smallest to largest balance. Pay the minimums on all of them because we want to, you know, keep them all current. But whatever you can free up in your budget, and you're probably going to want to take another pass at it and look for subscriptions to cut or cancel. And, you know, maybe we're going to eat out less. I mean, we're going to make some changes to try to free up marginal, you know, income. And then we're going to apply 100% of that, assuming you have at least $1,000 in your emergency fund. We'll apply 100% of that surplus to the card with the lowest balance. Here's why. The data says the best plan for you to pay back your credit card debt is the one you'll actually finish. And what we find is that when you go after that smallest balance first, let's say it's $300 and you've freed up $100 a month in your budget. Well, 3 months later, it's gone. You tear it up. And that emotional win, that celebration of, wow, I did it, now is going to keep you going and motivated to move to card two and then card three and so on. And, you know, that's the debt snowball, and it works very well. If you have more than $4,000 in credit card debt, I like debt management. That's not debt consolidation where you're taking out a new loan and paying everything off with one new loan. It's not debt settlement where you stop paying, everything gets behind and into collections, and you try to negotiate a reduced, you know, settlement payoff. Debt management is where you use a credit counseling agency like our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org to actually stay with the current creditor, get the interest rates down, and then through one level monthly payment through the credit counseling agency, you're going to pay that back on average 80% faster. Again, ChristianCreditCounselors.org is where we recommend you go. So hopefully that helps. That's at least just kind of a high-level overview of maybe a strategy for you to pay off your credit card debt. Hey, by the way, Bob Dahl is going to stop by in our next segment. Bob will be by with his weekly market commentary. We'll find out what's happening in the markets, what Bob thinks about the latest economic data. The Dow off about 400 points this morning as the markets are opening. Traders are worrying about the potential for fewer rate cuts than expected simply because of the strength of the economy and the job market. It's that kind of upside down economy. Good news is bad. Bad news is good as it relates to the market. So we'll get Bob to weigh in on all of that. Plus, we're taking your phone calls today. We've got lines open at 800-525-7000. You can call right now with your financial question, whatever you're considering today. We'd love to tackle it with you. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. All right, let's take a few emails. These come into us every day at AskRob@faithfi.com. We try to get to as many as we can each week. This one comes from Mary. She says, what percentage of a person's income should go toward housing expenses? As I understand it, this includes the mortgage, utilities, homeowners association, insurance, property taxes, et cetera. What is your best advice? Well, let me just give you a couple of rules of thumb here, Mary. And let me say first, the key is these are just guidelines. The most important thing is that your budget balances. You've got to make it work for you. But these guidelines can at least give you a starting point to say, am I out of line? Do I have too much home? Do I need to make some changes? And perhaps it could lead you to a decision if you need to make one. Otherwise, the balanced budget is the most important thing. But in terms of that mortgage payment, we use the rule of thumb 25% of your take-home pay. Now, that's for the principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. So that's a full mortgage payment with escrows, no more than 25% of your take-home pay. So, you know, you're making $4,000 a month. You're looking at $1,000, a month, no more than that for your mortgage payment, principal, interest, taxes, insurance. You're making $6,000 a month, that's $1,500 a month, and so on. Another 5% for utilities and homeowners association. So all these other expenses, that'd be another 5%, which takes you up to a total of 30% as a guideline. And then another one that people often fail to recognize is, you need to maintain the home. You're going to just have normal wear and tear. That wood around the windows outside is eventually going to need to be replaced. And maybe you have some siding or, whatever it might be, a gutter that has a problem. 1% of the purchase price per home in your housing maintenance fund is a good idea. So $250,000 home, you've got $2,500 there in your maintenance fund. So I think these are just guidelines, but Mary, hopefully this helps you as you think about what you need in your fund. All right, from Janet, we're buying a new home and leaving Florida due to rising insurance costs. We're receiving Social Security benefits as retirees. Can we start to liquidate our IRAs to purchase our new home? Here's what I would say, Janet. You really don't want to cash out your IRAs, as that's going to create a huge taxable event. So perhaps let's look for a house in the area and put a contingent contract on it. You know, the housing market is still robust and strong, but it's certainly softened from where we were a couple of years ago. The idea that you'd have a contingency on another home sale was a non-starter 2 years ago. It's not today. So I would look to put a contingent contract in. The other option is you could sell your Florida home and move into a short-term rental while you find your new home and then purchase it with the proceeds of the sale. But in either case, I would avoid trying to pull the money out of Social Security. All right, and then finally, from Deborah, how do you arrive at the contentment of knowing you have enough? Philippians 4:12-13 comes to mind as I would like to be like Paul. And that's a great person to emulate, Deborah, I certainly think. The idea of enough, a financial finish line, should be considered. And I would say you need to think about it in terms of both your lifestyle, that's your monthly spending, as well as your total accumulation, that's the assets on your balance sheet. Now, the starting point for considering this, I think, is prayer, really asking the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do with what you've entrusted to me? Because if we're not careful, we can attempt, and this, think about this for a second, I think we can attempt to redeem greed in the name of the American dream. You know, this is just what I deserve, or this is the expectation to have this size house or spend this much on my lifestyle or drive this kind of car or have this much in the bank. We need to hold what God has given us loosely and ask him why he's entrusted to us what he has. And in that wrestling and prayer and really discussion, if you're married, I think you have to arrive at what is that enough number and what is the right lifestyle. And don't, it's not just to keep up with the Joneses or what somebody else, you know, has happening on their social media page. It's really a number that you've arrived at. There's nothing wrong with being entrusted with much. I think it's the attitude of our hearts. Are we trusting in the Lord or are we trusting in our wealth? Do we treasure earthly things more than the Lord, or is God our ultimate treasure? So I want you to think about that and just pray it through. There is a math equation for enough, but be sure you don't remove the Lord's leading for your enough, is what I would say. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back with your phone calls and Bob Dahl in the final segment. Stick around.
Jesus prayed for his disciples on the eve of his crucifixion. And in that prayer, there's a profound promise for all of us. Find out more. I'm Charles Morris. Join me with David Wolin all week for a New Haven Today series called The Promise of Jesus.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Here in our final segment, we'll have room for one or two more phone calls today, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. But first, it's a Monday, which means our good friend Bob Dahl stops by. Bob is Chief Executive Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, where he also serves as Chief Investment Officer as well. And he stops by with his market commentary and analysis each week. Bob, good morning to you.
Happy Monday, my friend.
All right, market's off, red across the board. It's that upside-down economy again, I guess, right? Good news is bad, bad news is good. Is that the deal?
Something like that, and of course we had a big up week last week, so I guess we had to give it back today, Monday.
Yeah. Is it mainly about jobs and wages running hot, Bob?
Yeah, we had an amazing jobs report last week, at least in terms of the number of new jobs, 353,000. But, you know, you can always find something under the hood to say, not so fast. For example, the average work week fell. What's that about? And average hourly earnings up a lot, good for the consumer, but not so good for the Fed and the inflation fight. So we've got the yin and the yang going again, Rob. And underneath the surface, as you know, while the averages are up year to date, the average stock is down year to date. That narrow leadership comment, sadly, has taken hold. So if you're not in those fabulous few, those magnificent seven, whatever you want to call it, you're struggling.
Yeah, no question about it. Bob, have there been any comments out by any of the Fed governors just about this idea that, wait a minute, maybe three rate cuts this year isn't so likely?
Yeah, for sure. And it's the spotlight's been on the March meeting, where lots of people thought coming into the year that would be the first cut. Chair Powell last week and others have basically said, not so fast. A March rate cut is now unlikely, and the speculation is, will the first one be in May or June? And that could get pushed back too, Rob. You know, the consensus at the peak was we'd have 7 cuts this year. That's wow. Now down to 5, and our guess is it'll be 3 at most.
Yeah, interesting. All right, well, clearly we've led the global markets in our gains over the past year. What does that mean for international stocks? Is there more of an opportunity there, or are they in worse shape than we are economically?
Yeah, so a lot of our leadership has come from pretty good productivity gains, Rob, and that comes from technology and other things. The rest of the world, almost uniformly, is cheaper than the U.S. when it comes to the stock market. And of course, we all know cheap stocks don't necessarily outperform because there are problems with cheap stocks. Same thing with the international markets. Now, my view is there's so many Americans who have ignored international markets for the last 5-10 years, to their credit, as the U.S. has outperformed. That won't last forever. So my view is do a slow, don't have to be a hero, dollar cost averaging into some international or global fund that strikes your fancy. For sure, they will come back someday.
All right, last question, Bob. For somebody who's just hearing about this idea that I can align my values with my investments for the very first time, where would you encourage them to begin?
I'd encourage them to do a little more homework, find out from their financial advisor, hopefully a Christian financial advisor, maybe a CKA, what the opportunities are. There are about a half dozen firms who are firmly planted their flag in this space and have products, mutual funds, and separate accounts like Crossmark and others to serve these clients. It's an exciting and growing part of the asset management business for the very reason you said. Individuals and institutions are saying, you know, I really should line up all of my life with my values, including my investments.
Yeah, and you would agree that you don't have to sacrifice return to do that, right?
Exactly, and it's not just my opinion. There are empirical studies to show that. And so if you can get the, quote, same return here, I say, why not line up your portfolios not just for this life, but for the one to come?
It would make sense that companies that are not harming people or the world would do better. And fortunately, that's what the data suggests, right?
Hey, bingo, and thank the good Lord.
That's right. All right, Bob, great to have you, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great week. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Bob Dahle. He's Chief Executive Officer and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. All right. Let's round out the broadcast today with as many questions as we can get to. Lines are all full, so I'm going to move quickly. Let's go to Texas. Faye, you've been very patient waiting, and go right ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call and
sure.
for all that you do. I had a question, some questions on survivor benefits through the Social Security Administration. I have questions about should I go ahead and apply for it, because I can do that when I turn 60 this year. But when they gave me the matrix, the widow's matrix, it looks like it increases if I wait to apply
yeah.
for it.
Yeah, that's
so that's
right.
one of my questions.
Yeah.
And then,
let me tackle that first. So
typically, sure.
if you're the surviving spouse at full retirement age or older, you'd receive 100% of your benefit amount, which is usually 100% of the deceased's benefits. Now, uh-huh. at 60 up until full retirement age, which is this period you're talking about, you'd receive somewhere between around 71.5% all the way up to 99% of your basic amount. And then if you remarry, you're not eligible for benefits based on your deceased husband's work record. But you're in this period where you're correct. You're going to take a haircut, if you will, on that benefit amount until you get to full retirement age. And depending upon what your need is, that may make sense, because you may need to, you know, replace that income. And, you know, this is a way to do it. But you just need to recognize the longer you can wait, the better, because you're going to lock in that higher benefit.
Okay, great. That answers that question. Thank you so much. Yes, I'm at a quandary because the information I got from the Social Security office was if I take this, I will be limited to how much if I want to continue to work, I can only make, I think it was $22,000 a year, or if I make more than $22,000 a year, then it will reduce my survivor benefits.
Yes, so, that's right. But keep in mind that, you would have the ability to get some of that back if it's reduced and you earn too much. It's a temporary reduction that's repaid to you after full retirement age.
Okay. That's great. And just one other question on is there a different resource that I can go to about these survivor benefits, because the Social Security office agents are great. I mean, they try their best, but they don't always know. And I often get different answers to the same question. Yeah. So is there an organization that maybe helps widows or widowers?
It's a great question. I don't have a specific resource, but I would say that the SSA website, ssa.gov, just has a wealth of resources. For instance, I'm looking at a 10-page PDF right here on how work affects your benefits, and then another one on survivors' benefits. And so, I think those helpful tools, which kind of take out the guesswork, because those have been scrutinized pretty diligently, for the counsel they're giving, is probably the way to go. So I'd probably start with an internet search on Social Security Administration survivors benefits, and it's going to take you to that ssa.gov webpage where you can begin to read some of these publications that I think will be helpful to you.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Faye. I want to send you a gift. There's a book that's called Wise Women Managing Money. It's by one of my good friends, Miriam Neff. And when her husband passed away, she wrote this book for women, widows in this season of life who are taking on the responsibility of managing the family finances. It'll be an encouragement to you. It's practical. It's helpful. And it's something we just love to send to say thanks for being on the program today. So if you stay on the line, we'll get Wise Women Managing Money right out to you. Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. Happy to do it. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's go to Tennessee. Hi, Gary. How can I help?
Good morning. Yes, sir. I'm retired. My wife, too. We live on Social Security, and that brings in about $42,000 a year. And I do some farming on the side, hauling grain. I'm a retired trucker, so that's another $4,000 or $5,000. But both our vehicles are 20 years old. We've kept them in good shape, but, they could conk out any day.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if I'll be 70 in May. I know I'll have to take a disbursement then monthly. But if we needed to get a newer vehicle, would it hurt to increase that a little bit to cover the note?
No. So where would you pull that from?
401.
Oh, from your 401. Yeah, absolutely. You probably aren't going to have to take your required minimum till 72. You'll want to look at that because those ages have changed. But, I think that makes a lot of sense. Just make sure you're trying to not pull more than 4% a year and make sure it's invested in such a way where you're not taking unnecessary risk, but it does have the potential for some gains. So you could offset those distributions. But yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, Gary, just to supplement your income and make sure you have what you need to cover those newer vehicles that probably it's time. Sounds like it's going to start to add up in repair costs if you don't do something about it. So I like that plan, my friend. Hey, we appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on the program. May the Lord bless you. Paula, let's see if we can get you on tomorrow. I apologize we didn't get to your call there in Texas. Stay on the line and our team will see if we can capture your phone number and get you up first. But thanks for trying to be on the program today. Folks, that's going to do it for us. Listen, so thankful to have you along with us today. On behalf of my team, Robert Youngblood, Jim Henry, and Devin Patrick, this has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Make God your ultimate treasure and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.